Good afternoon, Bills fans, and welcome to our Bills Fan Forum, an exclusive event for Buffalo Bills season ticket holders, and happy to have you on the line with us this afternoon. I'm John Murphy, the host of the John Murphy Show on WGR Radio in Buffalo and the play-by-play voice of the Bills, and joining us in the John Murphy Show studio is the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Doug Marrone. Coach, thanks for taking the time out to do this and to talk to some of the great season ticket holders that the Bills have.
Oh, absolutely, Murph. I'm actually really excited about this. I was looking forward to it all day.
I bet you are. And here's an opportunity for fans who have questions about what's gone on so far, the couple of months you've been here, and what's coming up. This is a good opportunity for them to get the information straight from you.
Oh, it's a great opportunity. You know, you have so much going on, you know, here right now with the players, and then obviously we just gone through our first draft. So you don't really get a chance to get out there as often as you would like to educate, you know, the fans and tell them, hey, what's going on, and give them a little bit of insight. So, you know, this is a great forum for us to get to really the core of why we're here is not only the players but our fans.
And we want to invite those season ticket holders on the line. If you'd like to participate, if you have a question for head coach Doug Marrone, press *3. We want to thank all of the Bills season ticket holders for all of their support over the years. We want to remind season ticket holders to take advantage of their early access to group tickets. That's coming up a week from Saturday, May 18th. The Patriots, Panthers, and Ravens games expected to sell out well before the season, so look for that a week from this Saturday on May 18th. Coach, before we get to the calls, and we're lining them up right now, just talk a little bit about the rookie minicamp, which starts later this week. What do you have in mind?
Well, you know, we're excited. It's our first chance as coaches to really get to work with them. And really, we just want to go in and make sure, you know, one, they understand, you know, what it means to be in this league, you know, and what it is to be an NFL player. And then more importantly, you know, again, what it's like, what it takes to be a Bill, you know, and how to handle themselves, conduct themselves, not only just on the field, but off the field and in the community. So, you know, it gives us a chance to get to know them a little bit more and get a feel for them. And the camp's going to be run a little bit differently than places I've been in the past because, you know, we're going to get them out there on the field and we're going to work and we're going to find out what their skill level is and, you know, obviously develop them and make sure that they're familiar in our system of offense, defense, and special teams, and but not really get them combative against one another to see. You know, we're looking to transition them well into our team, which we start OTAs the following Monday.
And you've got 3 days with them. Do they stay through the OTAs, or do you not get another crack at them until training camp?
Well, the players that have graduated, you know, have to be officially released, and then they come back. But if their graduation date is extended, then they go back and finish, you know, obviously school, which is the most important thing to make sure that these student-athletes now are graduating college.
Okay, we're in the studio with the head coach of the Bills, Doug Marrone, and we, again, thank all of the season ticket holders for participating. If you have a question for Coach Marrone and you're on the line right now, press *3. Coach, you ready to get it started? Let's take our first phone call. We'll go to Jeff in Buffalo. Jeff, good afternoon. You're on the show with us. You have a question for Coach Marrone.
Hi, Coach. I want to know about your role in the draft. Did they look at some players you had influences on? And also, you know, how much input did you have in the draft?
Well, you know, it's every team's probably a little bit different, but most of the teams, the organizations I've been with, you know, you have a full-time scouting staff, you have, you know, a director of college, you have a general manager, you know, we have Buddy Nix and Doug Whaley, and then obviously we have quite a few scouts. So, you know, they're going about it all year round. And we as coaches, we tend to get caught up in the season, and we don't really get a lot of looks at the college players because obviously we're dealing with our team. So I've always felt a great deal of appreciation for the scouts and the GM to let us at least write reports on the players that are coming out. So we do have a part in this process of what we do here. Myself, I've also written reports this year. So we get a chance to write the reports, and we get a chance to say what the strengths and weaknesses and what we like about the players are in front of the scouts as we listen to their reports. So I'm very fortunate that I have that ability to at least say what I feel. And at the end of the day, you know, we get together, you know, with Buddy Nix and Doug Whaley, myself, a couple of the directors, Russ Brandon, and we sit down and we discuss them. And pretty much it's not as difficult, you know, for us because obviously we look at the talent, we put a grade on them, we know what the needs are of the team. And you know, we come to a decision of saying, hey, this is what's best for us at this at this time, you know, within the draft. Because the one thing, it's easy to look at the draft the next day when it's all over, but you really don't know what the other team's draft boards are. And that's what the difficult part is.
Thanks very much for your question, Jeff, a season ticket holder since 2000. Let's take another call for head coach Doug Marone on our fan forum, and we will go to Cortez in Rochester. Welcome, Cortez. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, John and Coach. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Cortez.
Good, good. You know, you listen to the national media and you hear the criticism about our first-round pick, and, you know, that's usually accompanied with the argument that, you know, it's probably best if E.J. Manuel sits for a year or two and develops as a quarterback in the NFL, and then they also point to cases where that's been done and it's been successful. And I'm not looking for you to necessarily anoint him as a starting quarterback, but I'd like for you to assess that argument that's made on the national level.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's you know, I've always taken the stand that, you know, it's very easy for people that are outside an organization or outside of coaching to talk about development and time and all that. And what you see today in society is you really don't have that. You know, so my mind as a coach, I'll give an example. When I was in New Orleans, Jari Evans, who's the Pro Bowl offensive guard, a lot of the scouts, and we sat in there, and they would say, well, he's 2 years away or 3 years away. And I remember in that meeting, I stood in that meeting and said, you know what? I think he's ready to play right now. And that's the attitude I'm going to have, because if I, as a coach, Cortez, sit there and say, well, you know, we got to bring this guy along, I really feel that that's the way I'm going to coach him. I don't want to coach any player like that. I want to coach every player that he's getting ready to start, because in this game you have injuries and things like that. And, you know, if someone gets hurt, I want the backup to be coached just like a starter, so he's ready to come in there and start. You know, the practice squad players that we have the ability, if we have an injury on our roster, that's the player we should be bringing up. And that's how I look at it. So I coach every player like they're going to be our starter.
Cortez, thanks very much for your call. It is the Bills Fan Forum. If you have a question or a comment for Coach Doug Marone, just press *3 and you'll get to ask that question. Here's a call from Thomas, who's been a season ticket holder since 2010. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, Thomas.
First off, Doug, really, really happy to have you in Buffalo. We really, really appreciate the way you have this gusto. It's a different feeling around here right now. But the big thing I wanted to know is, with Derek Rogers, I know you haven't had a lot of time to really, you know, sit down with him. But what's your feeling from seeing some game tape and seeing what he's done, if he has the ability to make the 53-man roster, and what kind of impact he could have in this season?
Well, you know, my big thing, you know, and you look at the draft and people start speculating, well, you know, this guy was picked here, he's going to make the team, this person's a free agent. And I used to say this all the time, you know, in this league, I used to say, you know, it doesn't really matter to me how you had gotten here, whether you've been drafted, whether you're a free agent signing, unrestricted free agent, whatever it is. In order to stay here, you're going to have to produce, and the results on the field. So in saying that, my point is that every player we do bring on this team, whether they're a free agent or a draft pick, in my mind, has the ability to make this team. Derek Rogers, you know, from what I've watched him on tape, is someone who's obviously extremely talented, extremely smart. Has not always made great decisions when he was younger. But, you know, recently now he's made good decisions. I think when he transferred out of Tennessee, played a little bit to the level of competition, which is a concern, and, you know, needs to come in here and really impress people early on. And I think he has that ability. So he, along with the other free agents, and I think all the players, we get them tomorrow, and that's the one thing I'm going to tell them is that, you know, when you get in here, you have to, you know, you have to make it, first impressions are important. You know, if you come in here out of shape or out of weight, that's not a good situation. You're not going to be here too long. But if you can come in here and impress the coaches, impress the scouts, myself, Coach Nix, everyone around the organization, you know, you'll have an opportunity to make this team.
With what happened to Derek Rogers, with the run-ins he had, the fact that he left Tennessee, the fact that he didn't get drafted, had to sign as a free agent, we talked to Buddy Nix about this last week. That has to get his attention, right, as far as now's the time to step up and fly right if he wants to make a career out of football.
Well, you know, a couple teams, you know, nowadays, Murph, with the social media and everything's out there, yeah. You know, and coming from college, I used to tell the kids all the time, and it's the same with myself, you know, you don't want to do anything now because it's going to be out there forever. And I don't want to ever say anything or do anything that my children, when they grow up, have to defend what their dad has done in the wrong way. So it is a lot of stories out there now, and I think people have to be very careful of what they do. But, you know, when you get to a point like the Rick Rogers, for example, and I've had players like this before that have become very good players in this league, there's an understanding. And either it's a one-shot deal. I mean, either you've learned your lesson and you've grown up and you're going to go forward and mature, or if you haven't learned your lesson, you're going to be out on the street. I mean, it's that simple. So I think if the players are smart enough to realize that, they have an opportunity, and I believe that Derek Rogers is smart enough to understand that.
Coach, we're getting a lot of questions about the draft, and it's just happened about the free agents that were signed. Here's a question from Mark, who's been a season ticket holder for 38 years. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate this forum. This is awesome. Coach, welcome to Buffalo. We appreciate you coming here.
Oh, I love it.
I think you'll find that we fans are pretty intelligent, and we're not as patient as we used to be, but I think that you'll love our enthusiasm. We're wondering, how early in the process did you know that EJ was your man at quarterback?
You know, my wife asked me the same darn question.
she's probably very, very patient.
Well, yeah. she's the coach's daughter. So, but anyway, you know, I tried to go in there with an open mind, having obviously played against some of the quarterbacks that we were evaluating. And I wanted to take that process and really watch it and go through a true process. I mean, you know, we were at the Senior Bowl. It was my first time where I met with most all the quarterbacks that were down there. You know, then we went, you know, then we had the combine, met with all the quarterbacks, watched them work out, watched them interact with people, watched them interact with, you know, fans, you know, did that. Then we went privately. We did private workouts, took them out to dinner, watched tapes of their 2012 season as well as their 2011 seasons to see how they progressed. And if I didn't have a good feel for it, I even went back to watch some of the 2010 on some of the players. So, you know, I don't know the exact date, Mark, but, you know, probably, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks prior to the draft, you know, when we really started talking about it, when the scouts came in and started going around that room, did we probably have the decision in our mind that, you know, where that ranking was.
Welcome. If you've dialed in, this is our Bills Fan Forum with head coach Doug Marrone. We want to thank all of the Bills season ticket holders for their support. And if you're on the line, if you have a question for head coach Doug Marrone, all you have to do is press *3 and we'll get you live with the coach. Here's a call from Derek. Derek, go ahead. You're on with the
coach. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Derek.
So my question to you is that I want to point out that the last time we had a winning season, we actually went 0-4 first, and we had a first-year head coach. I think a lot of people were restless in the beginning because, well, we were 0-4. So as a first-year head coach, how would you see yourself handling any heat that could come from the fan base if things don't go your way right away?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things is you got to believe in what you're doing. And this happened to me before with another team that I was with, actually in this conference. You know, we started off, and I don't know if we were 2-5, or it was really the worst start that we've had in a long time. And I was the only difference in the coaching staff. So I was in a market which was very difficult, and it all came down. And I remember sitting there in my office, and this is a true story, Derek, and I'm sitting there and I'm saying, golly, am I the reason why we're not winning? You know, and I sat there and I said, well, gosh, maybe I need to change this to change that. And I said, you know what? I've come a long way. I believe in what we're doing. I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep working harder. I'm going to keep grinding this thing out. I'm going to keep motivating the people and taking, you know, the positive and trying to push that forward. And we wound up winning the AFC East that year. So I think that, you know, not that I ever want to be in that situation of 0-4, but I actually thrive a little bit on adversity because you know what? Then you know truly who you have around you from a character standpoint. Who's going to be able to deal with it? Because no matter what team you're on and however you start, there's going to be adversity during the season, and the good teams are able to handle it and come back. And that's developed through, I believe, a foundation of hard work, confidence in their ability, confidence in what we're doing, and realize that it's a team game and not an individual game.
Derek, thanks very much for your call. We're on the Fan Forum with Bills head coach Doug Marone, and let's take a call here from Ryan, who's been a season ticket holder for the last 4 years. Ryan, you're on with Coach Marone.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Coach. Welcome to the team. I think you've really re-energized the fan base, which I thank you for. I think we really need an infusion of that energy that you've brought. But my question has to do with the offensive line. Obviously, you lost Andrew Vitry. That's a big loss on the offensive line. How do you see it shaping up this coming season?
Well, I'll tell you, I think we have some good young talent there. I really do. Guys that really haven't played quite a bit. And being able to look at them, and actually I've actually been out there, Ryan, working with them. So I, you know, Coach Morris lets me get in there, and I'm his assistant and working with those guys. So I'm happy with the way that they've been working. I think it's going to be interesting once the pads come on to see them. I think, you know, they're losing some weight. Their foot speed's picking up. They're working extremely hard. I think, you know, Sam Young has done a nice job in our camp there right now. I'm happy with him. Chris Scott, I'd like to see him. I think he's done some good things. Colin Brown, you know, has been out there. So I think we have some flexibility, you know, in those positions. And I think it's one of those things. I think, you know, that position, more than any other position, I mean, they all have to work well together. And if they work well together, it'll be very productive. If you have you're only as strong as your weakest link when it comes down to line play. I really like, you know, Eric Wood in the center. I think, you know, I've seen him improve. He's healthy now. He looks great out there. Cordy Glenn has done a nice job. Eric Paris is coming back. He's getting healthy for OTA. So, you know, Urbick has done a nice job. I think we're going to get a lot out of him. I think we can get more out of him, and I think we can get more out of that group. And you probably hit a soft spot for me because I'm an ex-O-line guy myself. So I'm really looking for a lot from that group.
Not only do you work with the offensive linemen, I actually, in the veteran minicamp a few weeks ago, you were throwing back shotgun snaps in some of the individual drills, right?
Yeah, one of the things, you know, one of the reasons why I wasn't able to stay a long time in this league is because I could play all five positions. Uh-huh. So I was kind of one of those jack of all trades, master of none. But it always has given me a good insight to see. I think it's important as a coach. And when you can go out and tell a player, hey, you know what, this is difficult, and this is what we have to do to get it done. Hey, this isn't as difficult, and we should get this done. I think the player appreciates it when a coach recognizes that, you know, this is a little bit tough. Whereas sometimes you can go in there and coach and say, get this done, get this done, get this done. It's your job, it's your job, it's your job. And the player's like, hey, you know, give me a little credit here. This is a little bit tougher than this. So yeah. I think players appreciate that, and that's the way I've always talked to players.
It's our Bills Fan Forum for season ticket holders with head coach Doug Marone. And next up is Tony, a season ticket holder for the last 10 years. Tony, go ahead.
Hi, Coach. My question is regarding the new defensive scheme and the changes on the defensive line as far as how he's going to play where, specifically Kyle Williams and Mark Anderson.
Well, you know, I really, you know, I played against Mark when he was with Chicago and really enjoyed watching him on film, didn't enjoy playing against him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm happy that he's on our team, and I think that, you know, you'll see him as a rush end, you know, for us and be able to rush the passer and just let him go and go get him. I think Kyle Williams is very flexible. I think he can play a three technique. We can get him one-on-one. He can play the nose. He can play a five technique. So the thing with the defensive line, Tony, and I'm going to tell you, is we have to do a very good job of we have to make sure how many snaps, the production of the players. So when we look at the players and we see them, you know, on the field maybe too long and we need, you know, Kyle Williams or Mario and Mark Anderson or whoever it may be to go rush this quarterback, you know, and let's get the heck off the field, you know, we want to make sure that they haven't played eight snaps in a row before we're asking them to do that. So we feel very good about that group of having a lot of guys, a lot of diversity amongst the positions, the guys inside. And we have players that we feel we have a lot of players that will be able to play those positions. So it's probably, I would say, going into the OTAs, if you just told me, hey, what's one of the strongest, you know, position groups that you have out there, I would say that the defensive line is one of the stronger position groups.
Any updates on Anderson's recovery from the knee surgery he had last year? Is he doing okay?
He looks great to me.
Does he? Okay. Okay, that's good.
Don't say anything like that surgery and all that. We don't want to talk about those things.
We've had a lot of season ticket holders who've been longtime season ticket holders. The last one, Tony, for 10 years. This is a brand new season ticket holder. This is Walter, who just bought season tickets today. Walter, is that right?
No, I've had them since 1960.
Oh, since day one. You mean since day one?
Day one.
You are the longest season ticket holder we've had. Okay, it said day one. I thought this was day one for you.
No.
Welcome, Walter.
I've seen it all, good and bad, for a long time. Anyway, my question is to the coach, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with both of you. It's more of a general one that I'd like to have some assessment from a personnel standpoint of how he would rank the teams in the AFC East, the four teams from top to bottom as he sees them right now.
Well, you know, that's a legitimate question. And, you know, for me right now, we've actually started working on the teams in the AFC East, meaning that, you know, we've been looking at, we've broken down, you know, New England, Miami, New York, and looking at those teams. Now, when we go to June, we'll actually start game planning against those teams. So I really don't have as good of a feel that I would feel like, hey, you know what, Walter, I'm going to stand on this table and tell you, you know, obviously, you know, people put a lot into, you know, what New England has done, and I give them a lot of credit. I mean, they've done a nice job. They're a heck of a football team. But the one thing that we try to do philosophically is that we know that to get to the playoffs, you have to win a division. So we're strategically trying to look at exactly what you said, personnel-wise, where do we match up with the rest of the teams in the league? To answer a personnel question for you, you know, I have felt that we needed more speed on the perimeter so that we can match up better, and that we needed more coverage ability on the defensive side to match up better with the way Miami's going. New England's been there, and I'm not really sure where the Jets in New York is going. So we wanted to make sure that we can get people with cover skills that can cover the slots, cover the, you know, the places where these quarterbacks are having a great deal of success. So we try to increase our man coverage ability on the defensive back end, and we've tried to increase our speed on the perimeter from the offensive standpoint to match up with the people in our division.
Walter, thanks for your call. Thanks for being a longtime loyal season ticket holder. It's our Buffalo Bills fan forum featuring head coach Doug Marone. If you're listening online, if you have a question for the coach, just press *3 and we'll get you lined up. Here is a question from Mike. Mike, hello. You're on with the coach.
Hey guys, how's it going this afternoon? Coach, I just have one question about the pass coverage on the Bills. I'm not worried with you as far as the offense is concerned, but I'm concerned about a guy like, you know, Gronkowski, how he's always like cutting through the secondary and destroying the secondary and the pass coverage of the Bills. I'm just wondering how you can address it and how it's gonna improve, you know, under your regime.
Well,
and thanks, Coach.
No problem, Mike. It's you know, when you look at a player like Gronkowski, who's had a great deal of success, you know, if you try to go and match him up on the line, I mean, he's going to beat you up. You know, I mean, he's going to beat you up and he's going to separate on you. And he's done that very successfully, you know, in his time. So, you know, I think you got to be, you know, very smart, whether you, you know, inside out him, you know, where you vice coverage, put two people on him, or you play with a maybe a little bit better athlete. And that's where the matchups start coming in. You know, a little bit better athlete that's going to play a little bit off him and undercut the throws and be able to run with him. But, you know, when that ball's up in the air, he outmuscles you and does a good job. So we got to be conscious of every week, you know, not just, you know, with Gronkowski or Hernandez, but, you know, everyone we play, you know, who our matchups are. And we have to do a good job of making sure that we have enough players in the secondary where we can put guys on different types of matchups and double team guys or take people out of games. In order to do that, you have to be multiple, and that's what we want to do defensively. We want the quarterback, you know, right before the ball's being snapped to say, I wonder who's covering this guy. And if we can have that, all right, then we have a chance to be successful. I think that if you go up there and you line up vanilla and they know the matchups and they know where they want to go, and that's what we did offensively. If we like the matchup, we're throwing the ball 20 times over there. You know, we're not going to say, oh, we're going to spread the ball around. No. If we like that matchup and we feel our player is better than that player, we're going there 20 times. We'll throw it there 25 times in a row if we have to.
Coach, I've got a guy online here who does not want to ask this question on the air. It is Joseph from the Buffalo area, but he wants to know if you would come to his house for an Italian dinner.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would love to, but you know what? My relatives would kill me because they ask me all the time. And I'll tell you one thing. I will say this about my time here in Western New York, because obviously I've been in the rest of the state for a long period of time. This is really my first time here. This is unbelievable Italian food in this area. I love it. I mean, everyone tells me that everyone has their best Italian restaurant, you know. So I just keep going. Now, I can't tell my parents because my parents, I took them out to a pasta dinner. My parents sit down. I'm going to buy now, Murph, right?
Okay.
Okay. So my mother, we go to this nice place. So my mother's like, well, I can't order this. I said, what do you mean? She goes, it's $15, $15.99 for this pasta plate. I said, Mom, I got it. Don't worry about it. She goes, $15? We can feed a family of five. I'm like, Mom, just order the pasta. Get what you want. I mean, so, but it's been a great experience. I haven't been out as much as I'd like to. My family's coming up in June, but again, I've been around a little bit and it's been outstanding.
Thanks for the invitation, Joseph. Maybe I can fill in for you, Coach, if you can make it.
Exactly.
I'm not going to turn that down, that invitation down. Here is a call from Tom, who is an out-of-state season ticket holder. Tom, hello, welcome. You're on with the Coach.
Good afternoon, guys.
Tom, thank you.
Hey, Coach, welcome to Buffalo. We certainly could use the spark and the excitement, and God knows this city's would do anything for a winner, so we're hoping you can do that for us. But I had two questions. First of all, we had C.J. Spiller, one of the most dynamic players in the league last year on this team, and he was underutilized and did not touch the ball nearly as much as he should have. I'm just wondering how you're going to utilize him this year, if you're going to utilize him more. And second question is on the punt returns. Do we plan on keeping McKelvin back there, or if he wins a starting job, are we going to look at some of the rookies, or is that an open competition right now?
Well, the first question with C.J. Spiller, and people always say, you know, with any quarterback, even when, you know, I was in New Orleans with Drew and, you know, anyone I've been around, you always have to have a way to calm the quarterback down, you know. And the best way to calm a quarterback down is to hand that ball off. And you're exactly right. I mean, when you look at the average per carry of C.J. Spiller last year, it's unbelievable. And it's exciting. And that's why I think – that you saw us, Tom, go with a lot of speed because, you know, CJ's fast, you know, the receivers are fast, we're getting fast tight ends, you know, we got quarterbacks, all three of our quarterbacks can run and trying to put as much speed on that field. And if we can spread people out and CJ, you know, we get him the ball or Fred the ball or Choice the ball, you know, it's going to open up a lot of things for us. So we're excited about that. And, you know, there's other different ways that we've been, you know, looking at a way to use them, you know, not just basically right from the eye position out of the backfield. I think with the punt returns, you know, we do have some exciting guys. We, you know, Danny Crossman, our special teams coach, it's a luxury. You know, I mean, we have a lot of people that, you know, can return, not just punt returns, but kickoff returns. But when you have a player like Liotis, who's probably one of the best or more of the elite type punt returners in the league, you know, anytime that we have an opportunity to score, you know, we're going to put our best players out there. So, you know, right now, you know, he's getting healthy. He looks great. And I'm excited about seeing him back there.
Do you see the third rounder Goodwin is getting a shot at some return work?
I do. You know, I know Woods has returned, you know, Robert Woods has returned. The one thing we're not lacking is returners on our team, you know, which is a good sign.
Thanks for dialing in. It's the Buffalo Bills Fan Forum featuring head coach Doug Marrone. I'm John Murphy. If you're online and if you have questions for Coach Marrone, just press *3. We want to thank all of the season ticket holders for all their support and happy to have you online with us. Here is Ron in Lancaster, a season ticket holder since 1995. Go ahead, Ron. Hey, Ron, are you there? Are you there, Ron?
Yes, I...
Oh, we lost him. Are you there, Ron? Go ahead, Ron. You're on.
Coach, I just wondered how many quarterbacks.
I think his question is, how many quarterbacks do you plan on keeping when you cut down the roster?
We'll probably have three. I mean, I can't, you know, a lot of it's going to depend upon how the numbers go at the end. But, you know, probably you could have two on the roster, one on the practice squad, three on the roster, one on. I mean, there's a lot of different combinations, and a lot of it will depend upon, you know, where that quarterback is. As far as his development and really where he's at, you know, I mean, you know, we got a free agent quarterback coming in from Washington State who I really thought did a nice job. I really liked him. You know, 2 years ago, he had an unbelievable season. Last year, they changed offenses on him, and that's happened quite a bit in college. So, again, you know, whether he makes the roster, I don't know, but he could be on that practice squad. But, you know, we'll probably carry, you know, two quarterbacks or three quarterbacks. I really don't know. I can't answer that question right now.
Okay. There's a season ticket holder since 1973, Dick in Depew. Hello, Dick. You're on with the coach.
Very good. How are you doing, John?
Good.
I got a two-part question here. I'm the president of the Booster Club, by the way, and we're hoping that the team does a lot better so our membership goes back up to where it used to be. But the two-part question is this. There was talk before the draft about the no-huddle or hurry-up offense. Now, do you plan to use it? And if you do, how often? What percentage of the time? And the second question is, when the Bills score a touchdown, are you planning on doing the nasty boy stomp?
Oh. Well, first of all, I appreciate you putting the pressure on me for the club enrollment, the Rotary Club enrollment. Okay, so I'm gonna hold you to it because you're gonna hold me to winning. I'm gonna hold you to increasing the Rotary Club enrollment. So. You know, we'll have that situation for us. But one is tempo is, you know, it's one of the things now you've seen some teams in the NFL using. Obviously, college football is using it. It's pretty much one of the first trends that you might see develop from college going to the NFL, where normally it's been from the NFL going to college. I think what you're trying to get done is, you know, statistically, it's the amount of possessions you have per game equal the amount of points you score. So when, you know, the tempo is not a gadget or whatever you may say, it's actually, you know, an opportunity to make sure that you get more possessions, and more possessions will equal more scores. So we will use that as much as possible. The thing that I want to make sure everyone understands is that we do have the ability to huddle. We do have the ability to slow the game down, you know, if we wanted to. You know, you get the lead at the end and you're in a four-minute type situation where, you know, you want to slow the game down, you know, we'll have the ability to do that. So we've practiced both right now, and you know, we'll continue to practice both you know, the tempos of being in a huddle, of a short huddle, because I'm a big believer in being able to change up the tempos of the game. But you know, I like playing fast. I think you have a great advantage of that. And the second part of the question,
the nasty boy stomp.
Yeah, no,
not gonna happen.
I'll tell you one thing though. I'll be happy as hell, because the one thing I do is you know, from an offensive standpoint, we're an offense, is I like scoring touchdowns.
Okay. Dick, thanks for your call. Again, yep. The Bills Fan Forum, the questions, if you're online, just press *3. We want to remind season ticket holders to take advantage. A week from Saturday, May 18th, the early access to group tickets for the season will go on sale May 18th. The Patriots game, the Panthers game, the Ravens game, all expected to sell out well before the season. So look for that, season ticket holders, on May 18th. You get early access to group tickets. Let's take a call from Joni, who's on the line with us now, with Coach Marone. Go ahead, Joni.
Hi, Coach. I'm from Syracuse, and I'm so glad that you're our coach for the Buffalo Bills. I'm very excited about the season. My question is, what did you see in E.J. Manuel over Ryan Nassib to choose E.J.?
Well, you know, again, I think they're two great quarterbacks. I think they're both going to have good careers in the NFL. You know, just at the end of the day that – you know, we made a decision, and obviously I was a big part of that decision of who I thought was a better fit for what we wanted to do. It was very difficult. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I struggled for a long period of time. It wasn't difficult of how the decision was made. It was difficult because the decision involved someone that I had been close with for 4 years. And I think, you know, we're all human, and that was a tough situation. But, you know, we have to, you know, we have myself, I have an obligation to the organization and the fans and the players on this team. And, you know, we made a decision together that this was the direction that we wanted to go. And it's not an indictment that, you know, the other players can't play. They can. We just feel that we're better off with EJ.
Nassib wound up in a good spot with a good head coach in Coughlin and Gilbride, a good coordinator. I mean, he's going to be all right, I think, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I have a lot of respect for Coach Coughlin. He's helped me out, you know, quite a bit. I've known him for a long time, and he's a Syracuse grad and New York State guy. So, you know, I think he's an outstanding coach, and he's done a great job wherever he's been. So, you know, and I'm just happy that, you know, they're in the NFC.
Here's a question from Bill, who's been a season ticket holder for 9 years. Go ahead. You're on the air with the coach, Bill.
Hey, Coach. Thanks for taking our questions. My question for you is what is your opinion about the effectiveness of the Wildcat in the NFL and its role?
Well, it's, you know, for me, when, you know, I went and looked at that and studied it because obviously I was in a league when a couple teams were doing it. And then actually went back and I had the opportunity to play in my first bowl game, play Kansas State with Bill Schneider, who actually, that's where it came from. That's that I didn't, you know, Wildcat. The Kansas State Wildcats, yeah. And he was the one that was doing it. And my experience was with this league is when you were able to do that, most teams had a couple of checks. So they had two checks that they were going to go to as soon as you presented them with the Wildcat formation, and they pretty much took away your whole entire running game. So, you know, unless you had someone back there that had the ability to throw the ball effectively, I didn't think over the course of the evolution of this Wildcat, it wasn't as effective as it was in early on. So, you know, I've struggled a little bit with it. I'd much rather have, a quarterback that can hurt you with his arm and hurt you with his feet and have some more misdirection in there. So I don't know how other teams view it, but that's just how I view it.
Thanks for your call. Let's go to Daniel next. Daniel's been a season ticket holder since 1979, and he has a question for Coach Marone. Go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, hey, Coach. Welcome to Buffalo. Glad to have you, and really appreciate the upbeat nature of your draft as well as the focus on speed.
Great. Thank you.
Quick question. A lot has been said about, you know, the ability to dictate on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. And, you know, having sat in, hundreds of games, I think, in that stadium, nothing's more frustrated than to sit there and watch another team put it to you in terms of dictating the flow of the game. Given that, what do you think in terms of the 3-4? How will that enable us, the 3-4 defense, enable us to maybe disguise blitzes and dictate the terms of the game?
Well, Daniel, you know, that's been a question, you know, quite a bit. And it's not like, you know, I always get concerned because I'm a straight shooter. That, you know, when people ask me, well, what are you going to be offensively? What are you going to run? You know, you're going to have a fullback. You're going to have three receivers. I mean, we're going to truly be multiple. I mean, we're truly going to have all of that, you know, and we're going to put our best players on the field that give us the best opportunity to win. Defensively, I believe in the same thing. I think that if you're going to go out and you're going to line up and be very vanilla, then you better have, you know, your players better be a lot better than the players you're playing against, and that's not the case in this league for the most part. So, you know, will we line up in a 3-4 spacing? Yes. Will we line up in an under defense? Yes. Will we line up with an over defense? So we're going to line up in multiple defenses to put pressure that we hope from a defensive standpoint dictates and limits the offense to what they can do because they have to convert everything to that. And yes, I do believe you can disguise better at a certain defenses. And also on offense, we want to go with a high tempo, you know, multiple formations, you know, so we can, again, limit the adjustments of what people have to make on defense. So to answer your question, we want to be that team. We don't want to be the team that people do that against.
Daniel, thanks very much. Next up, we're going to go to a woman who's been a season ticket holder for the last 6 years. Anna is on the line with us. Anna, go ahead with your question for the coach.
Good afternoon, Coach. Thanks for taking all of our calls.
Oh, no problem,
Anna. My question is about the trade that you guys made with the Colts for Jerry Hughes and got rid of Kelvin Shepard, obviously. I was wondering if you could discuss that trade a little bit more. Tell me what you like about Hughes, where you see him fitting into the defense, and conversely, what about Kelvin, you know, made you trade him for Hughes? Thanks, Coach, and sure. Good luck all this season.
Sure. Sure, Anna. Thank you very much. First of all, I wouldn't use the term get rid of. I think, you know, it sounds like, you know, that we didn't appreciate, you know, what Kelvin Shepard has done here. And we didn't look at it that way. We looked at it as an opportunity to, again, trade a player that and put them really both in good situations. I think Kelvin Shepard has a great situation for himself down there in Indianapolis, playing linebacker for them. And I think, you know, Hughes has a good situation here, being a rusher and being multiple, being able to move him around. our scouts, we liked him coming out of college. The scouts that were here that evaluate him, our defensive coaches liked him coming out of college, and we think that we can get more flexibility out of him in what we're doing defensively than he might have had before. So we think that the decision to make that trade was good for both parties, both teams, as well as both players.
Thanks for your call, Anna. It's our Buffalo Bills Fan Forum featuring head coach Doug Marrone. If you're online and if you have a question for the coach, just press star three, and we'll get you on with the coach. Next up, Jerry from Buffalo, a season ticket holder since 1986. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hi, Coach. I'm not only a Syracuse grad, but a good friend of John Murphy, so I feel right at home asking my questions.
All right.
I am interested to know how you feel your experience as an offensive coordinator at New Orleans, which led to a Super Bowl championship, how that might help you in Buffalo.
I think everything that you go through in life helps you. I really do. In other words, whether you're learning from mistakes or you've seen something that you really like and going, I think that, you know, the main thing there was, you know, the structure and the foundation and hard work and teamwork and not have, you know, too many individuals. And I think that's what we tried to get accomplished there. And, you know, for a long period of time, in New Orleans, they didn't have a great culture. I mean, you know, it's different here. You know, Buffalo has a great tradition, have had some unbelievable, outstanding players, and there's been this drought, this period of time right now where it hasn't been fair, and it's a higher calling for us. So, you know, and I addressed this with the team, and I told that to the season ticket holder, or I think I told it to the season ticket holders at there. I did. We have a higher calling. We have a chance, and this is how I'm going to compare the two experiences. We have a chance to, when people wake up on Monday morning, to wear their Buffalo Bills gear and be darn proud. And because of the product that we're putting on the field and the way we're playing the game of football. And it's a game of football that's going to be representative of a lot of what we believe in Western New York, in this region. You know, it's just a lot of hard work, not a lot of complaining. You just go and get the job done, and we don't make excuses. And I think that, you know, we have that ability. That's a higher calling. You know, Mr. Wilson has been, you know, loyal and dedicated to this area for a long period of time, you know, and it's a lot. I mean, we want to win, not just for him, but, you know, not just for ourselves and the players, but for the fans. You know, like I said before, I know what it's like to get up in the morning and scrape the darn ice off the windshield. Okay? I didn't grow up and have a garage. You know, so I know what it's like to shovel. I know what it's like to do that. So if we have an opportunity on a Sunday to go out here in our stadium with I believe, the greatest fans in this league, and that's just not a cliche, and that's not a new head coach trying to pump people up. I played in this stadium, okay, and been on the other side. You know, we can get this place going. It could strategically be the fans will help us win games, and we will make them feel better. And that's a higher calling, you know, for us as players. And it's a great deal of responsibility because, you know, for 13 years is too long, and we deserve a winner, and we have to put one out there. And when people talk about pressure, you know, of winning now, you better believe there's a lot of pressure. But it's not a lot of pressure for me to do it for myself or the coaches for themselves or the players for themselves. The pressure is being put on to do it for all the people for all these years, the people that are the season ticket holders, the people like yourself that are calling in to get this thing done. That's what I'm excited about. That's what makes me get up every morning and get my butt to work.
Jerry, thanks for your call. Our fan forum with head coach Doug Marrone continues till about 1:30. If you're online and if you have a question for the coach, just press *3. Here is a question now from Daniels on the line. He's been a season ticket holder for the last 26 years. Go ahead, Daniel.
Good afternoon, Coach. My question is you go to camp with 90 folks and you got to get down to 53. Who makes the decisions on the final roster, and how are they made as you go through the different position groups?
Well, again, you know, obviously Buddy Nix is our general manager. We have, you know, Doug Whaley's here. Our scouts are with us all through camp, you know, and you just have, you know, we meet, you know, periodically. You know, we meet daily as coaches, once or twice a day, talking about the personnel. Scouts are sitting in meetings. You know, everyone's evaluating what's going on. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we get in there, you know, myself, Buddy, Doug Whaley, any of the directors, Russ Brandon, and we talk about the players and the decisions we make to make sure that we have the best 53 on the roster. You know, at the end of the day, you know, the general manager has a say in that, you know, and I'm fortunate that he listens to, you know, whatever I have to say, or, you know, he listens to what Doug Whaley has to say. And that's how we basically have done things.
Thanks for your call. Let's go to next up, George, who has been a season ticket holder for the Bills for 49 years. George, you're on the line with Coach Marone. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, Coach.
Hey, George.
Getting back to the free agent quarterback you brought in, obviously you and your staff feel he has some potential, but I was wondering what your feeling is that he must have had a downside that he didn't get drafted.
Okay, are we talking about
Kevin Cobb?
Or are we talking about...
Who are you talking about, George? Kevin Cobb. Okay.
Okay. Is it Tool?
Oh, Tool. Jeff Tool.
Okay, Jeff Tool. Again, you know, we're coming in here, and normally we'd like to go to camp with at least four quarterbacks. And, you know, I feel that you know, Tool has done – 2 years ago did a very good job at Washington State. And then last year, obviously, they changed coordinators. And not that he struggled, but wasn't as productive as before. So I just wanted to make sure that we had, you know, four productive, competitive players at that position, you know, to compete for a roster spot.
Thanks for your call. Next up is Jerry, who's been a season ticket holder since 2004. Let's punch Jerry up because he has a question for Coach Doug Marone. Jerry, go ahead. You're with the coach. What's your question? Jerry, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead. Your question for the coach, please.
I just wanted to ask the coach if all the pieces to his puzzle for putting a new team together this year are finished, or is he still looking to make a couple trades or additions, free agent additions?
Well, Jerry, I think in this profession now, I think you're always looking to get better each day. So, you know, for me to sit here right now and say we're definitely not going to do that or definitely not going to do this, I think you're always looking to upgrade. You know, you're always looking to make yourself better. So do I see anything right now on the horizon? Am I aware of anything? Not right at this moment. But, you know, when we start practicing and start going, if we think that we can get someone in here that's going to help us win, we'll definitely look at it.
Jerry, thanks for your question. Let's go now to a season ticket holder since 1989. Greg is on the line with us. Greg, go ahead.
Guys, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. And, John, I just want to say one comment. I really didn't think as a longtime Bills fan that anybody could replace Van Miller as the play-by-play guy. But I thoroughly enjoy listening to both you and Mark Kelso on game day.
That's awfully nice. Thanks, Greg.
Greg, how much did John pay you to call in and say that right now? Huh?
He's buying me lunch over at Ted's. Coach, you have brought a level of enthusiasm that we haven't seen in Buffalo from a head coach in a long time, and I really appreciate it. I think this is going to go a long ways toward making our football team better.
Greg, I'm not buying you lunch.
You're buying me dinner, Coach. But the one thing that really bothers me is in order to do anything in the AFC East, we have to get by the Patriots, and they've just been a nemesis for 20 years. What we have to do, the Giants gave us the blueprint on that with regard to those two Super Bowls. They seemed to handle the Patriots well, and it really defensively wasn't in the back end. It was more up front. So my question to you is, what are your plans with regard to putting any pressure at all on Brady to really confuse that offense? Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I think you have to be smart. I mean, you know, I think there's a couple things. I think that, you know, one, you know, Greg, you talked about, you know, New England. I think that, you know, obviously they've had the most success in the AFC East. And, you know, if you put too much into beating New England, I think you can lose sight of that you have, you know, 14 other games, yeah. You know, having played them twice. And I think you have to be careful with that. I think you have to be very careful. I think you do have to mix things up. I think that, you know, you have to pick and choose when you want to bring pressure. I think you got to pick and choose the type of coverages you want to play. And it's because, you know, Tom Brady is an outstanding quarterback, as well as there are a couple of other outstanding quarterbacks in this league. And I think that you've seen that when they've had success, they'd be able to sit back there and seem very comfortable, and really they are managing the game. And that's what we like our quarterbacks to do. We want to be able to manage the game through how we do things, not dictated by someone else. So I think that the more, you know, even when we were with Drew, if there were times that Drew struggled, you know, or even in Miami with Marino, wherever it may have been, you know, the only time they really struggle is when they get off rhythm, you know, when something's not right, when the coach has told them something, and all of a sudden they're seeing something different out there. So, you know, I think it's very difficult to do. But, again, you know, we have to be able to beat the teams in this division, and we've got to go out there and play. And that's what it comes down to. And you have to play physical, and you have to, you know, when you look at teams that usually win those big games, the first thing that comes to mind is, boy, did they out physical that team. And I think that's what you're going to have to be able to do to win consistently.
Greg, thanks for your call. We've got about 10 minutes left with head coach Doug Marone on our Bills fan forum. If you're on the line listening in and you'd like to ask a question, press *3. I want to thank all of the season ticket holders for their support and remind you to be on the lookout for information on the new Renewal Rewards program that offers exclusive prizes for season ticket holders throughout the season. Let's take another call. Here is Frank from West Seneca, a season ticket holder since the 1960s. Go ahead, Frank.
Thanks. Welcome to Buffalo, Coach. My question's simple. You're in regards to the quarterbacks. You've got a couple that have proven winning records, and then you have a couple rookies coming on. So my question basically is, who's the front runner, and how difficult is the managing of equal time going to be during the limited time in preseason?
Well, I think, you know, again, there's going to be a lot of practice time. And Frank, we've discussed that as a staff to make sure that we can, evaluate, you know, the quarterbacks coming in and making sure that there's a good opportunity. And at the end of the day, I really believe this. It's I had this question before. It's like when you go out and we've all maybe coached Little League or coached girls softball, whatever it may be, you know, and you go out there and it's the 8-9-year-olds go and try out. You know, you try out, they go take batting practice, they take fielding, they take that, and you sit around and all of a sudden, you know, you're with a group of guys and you say, oh boy, that kid's good. You know, he's the best one out of them, or he's the best fielder out of them. And I try to put it, give a little insight of that's really how it is. When you go out there and you play a game of basketball and there's 10 guys on that court, you're able to say, oh, that's the best guy out there. Mm-hmm. Players know, coaches know. You know, and I think that we have to do a good job of giving him the opportunities, giving everyone the reps to either A, win the job, or B, lose the job in what they do. And we have to make sure that they're with the right people and working them around. So, you know, we spend a lot of time in making sure that that happens. And really right now there really isn't a front runner. It's just very competitive. And, you know, the rookies are coming in tomorrow, so we're excited to see where they're at.
So you're saying once you get them enough reps, it's not that difficult a decision. It's kind of simple.
Very rarely, I mean, when you put people out there, people are going to know. Players know, coaches know, everyone knows. I don't think it's by the production. It's by the results. It's by what happens. It's not like, oh, coach likes him better than me. That's not it. I like the guy who's going to win, you know, who's going to put the results out there. And that's what the players want. The players want the guys that are going to be able to win.
I have time for a few more questions for Coach Marone. Here is Anthony. Anthony, welcome. You're on the air with Coach Marone.
Hi, good afternoon. First of all, welcome to Buffalo, Coach. Thanks for your time today. Wish all the best to the Bills. My question is, when you look at the overall picture, with all the factors involved, obviously, Bills have, I think, the longest playoff drought. Now, what do you see as the biggest challenge to getting this team, not only back to the playoffs in the big picture, but really just to a level of success where we are remaining competitive each year and people are no longer... the Patriots are no longer overshadowing us, and all the elite teams, we are becoming one of them?
I think, you know, again, I mean, there's two ways I can tell you. I can tell you how, you know, we're creating the structure and foundation of the work ethic around the building, you know, for our players. But I'm gonna be more specific for you, okay? You know, in the studies that I've done over the last, I think, you know, 13 years, okay, let's say, you know, when if you just talk about turnovers, okay, Anthony, if we just say, let's just talk about turnovers. When we've been plus one in the turnover ratio, we've won 80% of our games. But when we're zero or minus, it's awful. So if you were to say to me, Coach, what's the one thing you can do right now to help us win games, I'd say win the turnover battle. Because I think all of us right now would raise our hands and say, shoot, we'll take 80% winning with a plus one turnover. And that's the one thing that we work on. Now, it works on both sides. I mean, we have to make sure that we secure the ball on offense and our special teams that play that way. And then on defense, we have to take that ball away. And that's what, you know, one of the things that we're working on. And obviously, that's a big, big stat for us that we've already talked to the players about and we've already been working on.
Thanks for your call. Let's go to Eric, who's been a season ticket holder since 2007. Eric, you're on with the coach. Go ahead.
Hi, Coach. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you today. I've got a question about coaching staff communication with Bills fans. I don't want you to give anything away to other teams, and I recognize that I don't need to know anything about the Bills for you guys to be successful, but what kind of obligation do you think you have to communicate with season ticket holders once you've sold that ticket to us? And kind of following up with that is, what should we believe, and how will you get us that information that you want us as season ticket holders, as committed Bills fans? How are you going to get that info to us?
Well, I think, you know, again, there's, you know, my focus, and I want to be clear on it, Eric, you know, my focus and what my core is to make sure that, you know, I put all my energy into us being a better football team and winning football games. I think that's very clear. I think that we have a great staff around us that will help me manage, you know, my messaging to the season ticket holders and what we're doing, whether it's a forum like this, which I actually really do enjoy, you know, being able to reach out and answer questions. Because for me, this is easy. You know, it's easy for me to answer these questions. To me, to go out on draft day and talk to them about where we are. This first year has been very difficult for me out in the community because, you know, obviously we're a new staff and new team, you know, but obviously I'll be out in the community doing a lot of different events as we progress. So the messaging and what we tell the fans, what they believe, they're going to believe what they see, not what they hear. So we're going to have to back that up by results. So we're going to have to back that up by the way we play. That's what people are going to believe. They're not going to believe what, you know, the coach says or coach does this or coach does that, you know, until you get results. And that's been my experience with fans. And I'm a fan, too. I mean, not a fan of football, but I'm a fan of, like, my son's Little League team. My son tells me, hey, we're going to go out and beat the heck out of this team. I said, well, you got to show me. Okay, when you show me, then I'll start believing that you can do it. So, you know, the one thing I will tell you and will promise, and one thing you can believe, we're not going to be outworked. That's the one thing I can promise you. We are not going to be outworked as a team. We're not going to be outworked as a coaching staff. And we are going to give everything we have, all right, to make sure that we are successful here in Buffalo.
Thanks for that call. We're down to just a couple of calls left. Time for a few more calls. Here is Chris, who's been a season ticket holder for the last 3 years. Go ahead, Chris. You're on with the coach.
Hey, thanks, Murph. Huge fan of your work. Welcome to the Bills, Coach. Really appreciate I'm excited about you as our coach and the culture changes that my wife, kids, and I could feel in the organization, even though we live over 5 hours away near Philadelphia.
Wow. Hey, don't let those Eagle fans get to you now.
Oh, no, I try to ignore them as best I can. my question is a two-part question on game management. If you win the coin toss, do you tend to prefer to keep the ball or defer? And, you know, could you explain why? I ask because I think halftime adjustments are very important. And earlier in the call, you talked about sticking to your plans and liking to do that. But I'm wondering if you prefer to have the ball at the half because that gives you an advantage after those, you know, halftime adjustments. Thanks very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I think there's a couple of things that factor into that game management point. I think that, you know, it's something that's discussed during the week. In other words, where you feel that, you know, you may – in other words, if you have a dominating defense and you feel like you can go ahead and kick that ball off and stop them and punt, then all of now field position becomes a big thing. So, you know, you can play that way. Obviously, elements are involved in it too. But to answer your question, I do like that. I like having the ball at halftime on offense because I think adjustments are big. And I think that's a big difference. I mean – you can win games by how you adjust, not just at halftime, but how you adjust during the game on the sideline. So from a game management standpoint, when we like for when I've had the call sheet and I'm looking at what I want to do on third downs or first downs, whatever downs they may be or whatever situation it is, I already have what this team I'm going against is playing from a percentage standpoint. So when I start calling this game, a lot of times some people will change. Some people will say, okay, I'm going to show this offensive coordinator something different, play more man than zone, and then now all of a sudden I have all these zone plays, and they're not going to be working as well against the man coverage. So then all of a sudden I start to change, then he changes. So it's kind of a little bit of a cat and mouse game, and I think that's why, you know, when I like to watch football games, I watch them alone because I like to see that, you know, and going, you know, how people go at each other, you know, schematically. But to answer your question, I love halftime and I love making adjustments, but I love making adjustments right on the sideline. They're just as much, and then watching the team go out there and execute them. And that's the most important thing about adjustments, making sure that your players can execute it.
Chris, thanks for your call. We have time for one more call, and we go to a season ticket holder for 20 years now. Mark is on the line with us. Mark, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Murph. And, Coach, welcome to Buffalo. I got, you know, at the end of every season, we look at the other teams that have established themselves as successful, and I don't see much difference between a lot of those teams other than the fact that a coach maybe generates some buy-in. In the short term, how do you plan on generating buy-in with these athletes that are making mass amounts of money? And how do you motivate guys that you don't necessarily have your name on as of yet?
Well, I think when you say don't have my name on as of yet, we're working together. I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, I meet with players daily, talk to them daily, you know, making sure, hey, we're in this thing together. You know, we're here. We're here for a reason. You know, you walk around our building. It's great tradition. You look at the great players on what's going to be our focus? What's going to be our tradition? What are we going to leave behind? You know, and I go back to the high calling, and I don't mean to be repetitive, but you know, if you're playing for yourself and if you're playing for the money, you're really playing for the wrong reasons. You know, we're fortunate to play a game that when we were kids, and here's what's interesting, okay? When we were all kids and we played this game, we didn't have coaches. We didn't have any coaches telling us what to do, but we went out there, we played as hard as we could. We were sweating, we were playing, and no one was going to say work hard or run. We did it all on our own. Why does it change? Why does it change? It shouldn't. You know, we're fortunate. Less than 1% of the people get to do this in the world, okay? We should go out there and play, all right? We're playing for a championship. We're playing for a trophy. We're playing for a higher calling. We're playing for, you know, an organization that shouldn't be going through this. Shouldn't be going through this. People in this area should not be going through this. We got to change that. We have the ability to affect a region by putting a productive winning football team out there. And that's our higher calling. And if you're not buying into that, then you don't need to be here. You can go play for some other team. But we don't want those type of players on our football team.
Coach, as you can tell, the emotions run pretty deep among the fan base. These season ticket holders really have a buy-in on this team, don't they?
Hey, You know, Robert, I called Robert Woods. I said, you know what? I'm tired of playing against you. I said, we're just going to pick you, and now you have to play for me. And it's kind of the same thing up here. I mean, I never liked coming up to this stadium when I was the opponent. Never liked it. I'd walk around the parking lot, never have any gear on, watch these fans, and I'd say, gosh, I wish the fans wherever I was at that time can be like this. You know, I mean, you talk about passionate. So now it's the same thing. I wanted to be here. The fans are here. All right, we're in this thing together, and we're going to get this thing done. So I'm excited. Now, there'll be times where I wish I was out there tailgating with them, but you know what? I got a job to do.
You can do that after the game.
I can go after the game. Exactly right.
Hey, Coach, thanks. This
Great.
Was fun.
Thanks, Murph. Awesome.
Head Coach Doug Marone with our Buffalo Bills Fan Forum, and thanks to all of those who participated and all of those who tuned in and listened online. Thanks to all the season ticket holders for all of their support. A reminder, a couple of things. Season ticket holders should take advantage of their early access to group tickets. It's next Saturday, May 18th. The Patriots game, the Panthers game, the Ravens game, all expected to sell out well before the season, so next Saturday is your day, May 18th, to jump on that. Season tickets will ship to accounts the second half of July. And if season ticket holders have any questions about their seats or their account, they can reach out to their account rep by calling 1-877-BB-TIX. That's 1-877-228-4257. Thanks for listening to our Buffalo Bills Fan Forum featuring head coach Doug Marone.